Welcome to the SearchSQLServer.com podcast on replication. Our guest speaker is Eric Johnson. Eric is co-founder of Consortio Services and is also its primary database technologies consultant. He has delivered numerous SQL Server training classes and webcasts, as well as presentations at national technology conferences. He has presented at Tech Mentor on SQL Server 2005 replication, reporting services, and integration services. He is also an active member in the local SQL Server community, serving as the president of the Colorado Springs SQL Server Users Group. Okay, well, let's get started on our discussion on SQL Server replication. Eric, can you start by defining replication?
Sure. First of all, replication is a technology available in SQL Server that allows you to take data on one server, which is known as the publisher, and make it available to other SQL servers, which are known as the subscribers. The setup to share data is done through what's called publications, and publications are a series of articles, which are really just objects inside a SQL database, tables, views, stored procedures. You make those objects available, you share the publication, and then other servers can either have the data pushed to them or pull it from the server that's doing the publishing. There are three types of replication available in SQL Server: snapshot, transactional, and merge replication. I'll give a quick overview of each of those. Snapshot replication takes all the data available in a publication and copies it to a subscriber in one shot. So everything that's in the publication is taken over. The data is in sync as of that snapshot. There's no further efforts to try and keep that data in sync. With transactional replication, the databases are initially synced up, and then over time, as things change on the publisher, the transactions are then applied to the subscribers so that they're kept in sync as things change. Finally, with merge replication, the data exists and is synced on the publisher and the subscriber, but changes can be made in either location, and then those changes will either get pushed to the subscriber or pulled back to the publisher, so that both databases are up to date with one another, and you can make changes at either location, which is different from transactional, and that you can only change the publisher and have the data flow to the subscriber.
So how can replication be used for high availability?
In order to set up replication in a high availability solution, you'll most likely be using transactional replication. So your primary server will be the publisher, and you'll have a second server that is your failover server that is a subscriber. And you will publish all the objects that are in the database, all the tables, views, and stored procedures, so that both copies of the database are identical. And since it's transactional replication, as things change on your published database, those changes will be migrated to the subscriber. In the event of a failover, you could then fail and point your clients over to that other server. You could also use a subset of transactional replication known as peer-to-peer replication. It's really just transactional replication, but the difference is with peer-to-peer, you can set up two, three, or more servers, and they each simultaneously publish and subscribe to the exact same database on all the servers. So if you have three, all three publish the data, and all three subscribe to the data from the other two servers. That allows you to make changes on any one of the three and keep the other two in sync, so all three databases look the same. So with a solution like that, you would have multiple servers in which you could fail over to in the event of a failure of your primary. And with a peer-to-peer, you also have the ability to reference those three servers in a load balancing solution as well, on top of the high availability. One other thing you do have to do when you set up high availability with replication is you have to manage new objects. And that is that when you set up a publication, it only has the articles in it that you defined at the time you set it up. So any new table or view or stored procedure that you add to the primary database has to also be added as an article to to your replication. Otherwise, the secondary server will never know that that new object was added. In SQL Server 2005, there have been a lot of enhancements around schema changes so that if you just change an existing object, there's not much you have to do to worry about that change getting across. It's only if you add new objects. But that's how you set up high availability using either transactional or a subset of transactional replication peer-to-peer. And that'll do it for you.
Okay. Well, beyond replication, what considerations must you take into account when setting up high availability?
Replication is a database-specific solution. That is, it only takes the information in the user database and copies that to the secondary server. So anything else that SQL relies on in order to function, logons to that server, for example, or jobs that you've scheduled through the SQL Server agent, those will not be taken to the secondary server through replication. So you have to make sure that you take steps to get those items from your primary to your secondary server. And there's several ways you can do that with, say, for server logons, for example. You can implement a procedure whereby every time you create a logon on the primary server, you also create the same logon with the same password on the secondary server. That'll allow, in the event of a failover, the same users that can log on to the primary to log on to the secondary. Additionally, there's several utilities available in SQL and several third-party utilities that you can use to also copy the logons from one server to another. And in SQL, in the new version in 2005, that is SQL Server Integration Services, and in older versions, it would be DTS. There's an object in there that allows you to copy logons from one server to the other. Also, the jobs in SQL Agent, if there's anything specific to running your application beyond just regular database maintenance, like backups and reindexing, those are easy enough to recreate. But anything else, like load jobs or purge jobs, you have to make sure those exist in both places as well, so that when the failover occurs, those jobs can still run and your application and your database can still function. Also, any other data or files that exist on your SQL server, whether they're comma-separated files that have data that gets loaded in, or some sort of a configuration file that a custom process reads, you'll have to make sure those files are also copied through some recurring batch job or some other mechanism of copying files at the operating system level. So just anything beyond the scope of a single user database, you'll also have to make sure you account for going from your primary to your secondary server.
And my final question is, how do you fail over a replication solution?
Well, for failover with replication, it's fairly manual. And that's because when you replicate, you're replicating between two separate instances of SQL Server. So if your primary server, for example, Server A, goes down, all the clients were configured to point to Server A, either through a configuration file on the for the application, or they were able to specify the server name when they connect. So when you fail over to Server B, your client applications aren't necessarily aware that happened. So you have to have a way to repoint those clients to the secondary box. And there's a couple ways you can do that. If it's a third-party app, then you're constrained to the way that third-party app was built, so whether it's a configuration file or entering the server. But if you're building your own in-house application, you can either build into the logic of your application to take two server names and then try the primary first, and if it doesn't connect, try the secondary. You could also just have the clients manually update something on their machine to point to the secondary box. That's more effective in a smaller environment. It's obviously very difficult to get 50,000 people to update a file in the event of a failover. One other thing that needs to be mentioned with failover is if you choose to go with an automatic solution, that is, you build it into your application to try the primary and then the secondary, you need to be aware that if something else fails that doesn't allow the client to connect to the SQL server, like a network connection or something along those lines, but for whatever reason it can still connect to the secondary box, then if you have automatic logic, it will fail its primary connection, and that server might not be down, and then it'll start pointing to the secondary box. Now, if you're using a transactional replication where data should only be modified at the publisher, and all of a sudden your clients are pointing at the subscriber. They could be modifying data there that will never get back to the publisher and can cause you to have an out-of-sync situation. So just something to be aware of, that if you do an automatic solution, you have to make sure that that server is indeed down before you let the clients fail over, or you could have some problems with that. So.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for questions. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric.
Thank you.